What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. And oh boy, are we going to have fun time talking about this game for a long, long... Well, I mean, the Bills' defensive backs won't because, oh, if we can't make fun of Mike White, well, we don't want tough questions post-game. Oh, it's not fair.
But you saw the second half of the Micah Hyde when he was leaving, right?
Oh.
So, I mean, hey, great saltiness on a whole other level.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, look, first, when you tell the reporter, we'll remember this. You know, and we'll get to this coming up in a few minutes. Bills' DBs were really upset at what they thought was an over-the-line form of questioning, which really was just about how bad they had
played. He got run over
tonight. How bad they played against the run and how embarrassing it is when a team completes 3 passes and they still win the game. They didn't
those
questions.
Only two. He was two of three.
Threw 3 passes and completed 2. They didn't like those questions. And, you know, we talked about it a few minutes ago, and we'll have more on that coming up in a few minutes. We have some sound. We're getting it together so we can present you with more than just what you heard a few minutes ago. But, yes, Bills DBs, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer did
not like the line of questioning following the game about, hey, are you guys embarrassed by your run defense tonight? And, well, bad times ensued. But the fun part of this game, I mean, clearly you don't see this very often, right? For all the great 49-48 games and 51-48 games we see now, this is a game where it was such a defensive struggle because of the wind. It was snowing earlier in the game. The Bills couldn't throw the football. This was Bill Belichick's genius at work, right? I'm telling you, this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to take the ball out of Mac Jones's hand, and we're going to win this game by running the ball every single play except for three, right? It was incredible. But just seeing those numbers of running the football three times. This is 2021 in the NFL where everybody throws it 40 times a game, whether they want to or not. We're still going to throw the football 40 times. We're still going to throw it because this is how you do it. And you have to go back a long, long time to find games like this, right? We talked about this last hour on the show, right? Three pass attempts by the Patriots. One in the first half, two on back-to-back plays in the second half. The previous time, the only time someone's thrown less passes in a game than this was a 1974 game between the Bills and the Jets. Right? Of course, it comes back to the Jets. Joe Ferguson, Bills quarterback, was 0-for-2 throwing the football in a mid-September game. Joe Namath completed three passes out of 18 for three interceptions, and the Bills beat the Jets 16-12. I put it up on Twitter. I put a link to the highlights from the game off of YouTube. It's the most incredible amount of wind and rain you have seen in a game. Nobody could throw. You watch Joe Namath try to throw the football. It looks like you're trying to throw a Nerf in a wind tunnel, right? That's kind of what it was for Namath. I mean, really, it's unbelievable to see this. You see these plays and it's, oh my God, and O.J. Simpson is running and he's slipping and falling down. The ball's falling out of his arms. It was a 16-12 game. The Bills threw the football two times. Joe Ferguson threw two passes in this game and the Bills were able to beat the Jets 16-12. Let's just think about that. Now, the other part of it is the Patriots. Well, when's the last time the Patriots threw the ball this many times or less in a game? An incredibly famous game. You are going back to the snowplow game against the Dolphins in 82 when they threw five passes. This was a game against the Dolphins where stadium worker drove the tractor on the field to clear a spot for John Smith to kick the game-winning field goal.
We did a podcast about that game.
Yeah, we did a whole special teams podcast on that play.
Yes, we did.
Incredibly famous. The tractor's in the Patriots Hall of Fame. Like, they have it hung from the roof in their Hall of Fame. I mean, just think about winning games like this. It's because of incredible weather and extreme weather, whether it's snow, whether it's rain, whether it's wind, and being able to overcome the elements and not only just overcome the other team, but what Mother Nature's got out there for you. This makes games legendary. And while there's not that many legendary plays from this game, right? You look back at the snowplow game, the snowplow itself was actually really cool, seeing the guy drive out on the field, and the fact that Dolphins almost drove down after the field goal to win the game. And there's not a lot of memorable plays from this game. It's just going to be, you know, watching Mac Jones hand the ball off and continue to hand it off and hand it off and hand it off. But this game, this is now a famous game. I mean, this is a game we're going to talk about this game for a long time. Oh, it's the three-throw game. I just don't know what we're going to call it.
Well, like, I don't know. There was a four-throw game that you're just jumping past, though.
Yeah, but that's four. I mean, come on. I mean, we got it.
But if you're going to do the five and the plow, I mean, look, the Mannings were doing their sidecast today. It was an Archie Manning game on my birthday in 1978 with a Saints win over the 49ers. I had to make it about me for a second.
No,
that's
fine.
Back to our regularly scheduled programming.
No, that's good. It's like, you know, 7-minute abs. Well, why don't we have 6-minute abs? Why don't we have 5-minute abs? Why don't we have 4-minute abs?
Well, let's run the gamut, you know. As the we needed one more and it gets us a Manning in, because would you ever think there was a game that a Manning would be involved in that there were only four pass attempts?
Wait, now how many of those Archie Manning throws were picks? Oh, I'm sorry. Is that too soon for that? I'm sorry.
See, now that's just cruelty right there.
He threw a lot of picks in his career, though, Mike. He threw.
He didn't have one in that game, though. He was 2-for-4, 31 yards, a touchdown, and then he ran three times for 10 yards.
All right. Well, that would be tough if you threw the ball five times in the game and had a pick.
But, you know, this game also included O.J. Simpson.
Is he in every game that nobody throws the football? Well, I guess you're going to hand the ball to him at that point.
Well, because he was on the other side. He was a member of the 49ers at that point.
True. Yeah, all right. Now, here's the thing. Hey, Bill. We're going to hear from Bill Belichick in a couple minutes here. Hey, Bill, you got any regrets on this game? Yeah, I've fired Josh McDaniels. Whoa, what do you mean? You fired Josh McDaniels? Yeah, I didn't want to throw the football at all. He called those three pass plays, and after the first one, I said, don't call another one, and then he called the second one, and I said, don't, if you call another one, you're fired, and he called one the next play, so I fired Josh McDaniels. He's now going to take over as head coach of the Jets.
Is that what your wish list is on for Santa this year?
No, I didn't want to throw the ball. Didn't want to throw it. I didn't want to throw the ball. I guarantee you, privately, he would say that. If you said to him at the end of his, or even now, hey, just me and you, no one else is listening, there's no microphones in this room, do you really regret throwing the football? Yeah, I wanted to win throwing the football no times. I really did want to do that. I really wanted to win throwing the football.
Wouldn't that have been special?
I really wanted to do that. I wanted to win. I did not want to throw the – I wanted to win a game with no pass attempts. And they could have. That's the thing is they could have won this game. They didn't need the 12-yard pad. They didn't. And those two plays they threw in the fourth quarter didn't result in a first down. Not enough time came off the clock. They punted the ball back away. They didn't need to throw. They didn't need to throw. They could have won with zero pass attempts. It was not germane to the outcome of the game.
By the way, the completion to Jonnu Smith, the 1-for-1, 12 yards in the first half, that was a hell of a catch by Jonnu Smith. It was a terribly thrown ball.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Batted it back down to himself.
No. Listen, you're going to see. I'm waiting for, because there's going to be hot takers tomorrow who are just going to wait and say, Mac Jones still played a great game tonight. All right, he handed the ball off, didn't complain. I'm serious, you're going to get people saying, he didn't complain. Tom Brady would have complained. He would have been upset. I got to throw the football. He would have talked about it on the sideline. He would have stamped his feet. Mac Jones did what a leader does. They knew they weren't calling his number, and the team looked up to him saying, hey, here he is not complaining, handing the football off. He only throws the football a couple of times. Look, after the game, he said the right things. Hey, it doesn't matter how many times you throw the football. It only matters how many times you win. Oh, Mac Jones clearly showing what an incredible quarterback he is. There's going to be people who say that tomorrow. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. There will be people who have that take on Mac Jones tomorrow.
Hey, man, he did what was asked of him. That's all you could do. Be an elite game manager under adverse conditions. How's that? That good? I paraphrased it all. Patriots 2 of 12 on third down in this game, but they did have 222 net yards rushing of the 241 yards.
So let's hear from Bill Belichick, who is just finished answering questions about this win. I'm sure he was laughing, the entire time. But let's hear from Belichick answering questions about this win, in which the Patriots pile up over 200 yards of rushing offense, three passes in beating the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, it's really good to come in here and win. So, make no mistake about it, Buffalo's a really good football team. They're well coached. They got a lot of good players, and they play hard and they're tough. But good to get the win. We're proud of our players. These guys did a good job on all three units. We played kind of the way we felt like we needed to play to win, and in the end. Scored enough points. Was a lot of situational football that I thought we, for the most part, handled fairly well. And just got to give the players a lot of credit for just being tough, being disciplined, being resilient, and dealing with a really good football team and conditions that were somewhat challenging. So good to get the win, and time to move on.
Do you like with this game and the way your guys adjusted and made plays? Would you like what it says about their character?
Yeah, I've never had any question about that.
Bill, at what point did you guys know you're going to have such a run-heavy approach? Was that the plan all week, or was that something that you...
No. We didn't know what it was going to be. But it's the way it worked out on the... Josh did a good job throwing the ball out there today, and it's not easy. I thought he did a pretty good job. So, not that he had a career day or anything, but it was tough conditions. But he slung it in there pretty good, made some really good throws.
Bill, can you describe for us what the wind was like? Was it blowing goalpost to goalpost from your right to left? I guess pretty much the entire time.
It was swirling, but it was basically blowing towards the tunnel from our bench to their bench, so it kind of cut a corner. It's like a Blizzard and Gillette from the lighthouse down to the closed end, about the same thing. But it was definitely swirling and kicking up at the closed end to the right of our bench was tough.
Phil, is it hard from a coaching perspective to be that patient and just stick with it on that launch and not be tempted to try and throw it in those conditions?
I don't know. Let's try to do what thinks best to help the team win.
How similar was this one to the last game in 2008?
Oh, that was a lot worse.
This was a lot worse?
No, that was a lot worse. Yeah, oh, yeah. Way, way worse.
Yeah, and I just hope Tom Brady is watching, seeing how we don't need a quarterback to win football games. I mean, you saw all that tonight, right? I mean, this is a wind and everything else. And yeah, so good luck, Tom. Yeah, we're just going to keep winning with Mac Jones, and I'm a genius. So just trying to get a move on from there.
That's what you got from that? It's like, I like the, was this the game plan all along? It's like, no. No, it wasn't. Like, well, when did you change? It's like, we did. I mean, that's it. Several questions where it's like, all right, I can't wait to hear the smart-ass answer. And he took the high road each and every time. The question about character. It's like, I never questioned that. Next. Like,
I came up with this game plan in 2006, but I really didn't have a chance to get it going until now. I thought maybe when Castle played in 2008, but we need to continue to win games. But I'm just so sick of Tom and throwing all those touchdowns, and yeah, I just don't like that. I don't like the throwing. I don't like that. Don't like the Brady. Don't like the star. Don't like that. I want a guy that doesn't do anything, a quarterback, and we just run and play defense. And I finally got that. But this is a game plan that's probably about 15 or 16 years old. I had this drawn up when Josh McDaniels was in eighth grade, and just kind of brought it out of the safe tonight and handed it to him before the game started and said, hey, let's run this tonight.
You're a lunatic. Absolute lunatic. Yep. It's all about showing Brady what a genius I am.
It is. Part of it is
I
that.
Love
part
it.
Of it is that. Part of it
all
is
right,
that.
All right, if I gave you a pie before you eat it and said pie. Your sliver is the amount that this was all about showing Tom Brady how smart he was. How
half.
Big a piece of pie are you getting?
Half I'm showing Brady how smart I am. Half was we needed to not throw the football as much in this game. This game gave him the excuse to say,
look, I could have won like 9 Super Bowls without Brady, but having him, we had to throw the football. That gets us in trouble. We score points. We give the ball back to the other team. I don't like that. I'd rather just won this way. Look, Matt Castle could have gone down as a 9-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, but we kept having to put Brady back out there. So we only had that 1 year.
So you're hungry is what I got from that you wanted half of a pie.
50%. 50%, I want to show you I'm a genius and I don't need a quarterback. 50%, well, we can do it in this game because of the wind. I'm not just going to do it to do it because I know that would look ridiculous, but this gives me the reason, the excuse to actually pursue it that way.
Okay, you so like he's just got a bunch of scripts that he's written ahead of time.
Digging that. I'm telling you, he had this game plan. After Brady became a superstar, I got to have this game plan where he don't throw the football and win. I got to teach him a lesson some point. And maybe years before I get to use it, but I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it some point. How old is Mac Jones? He's 4. Okay, when he gets to the NFL, we're going to use this game plan.
Who's that kid model that I saw in that local ad?
Wait, isn't Mac Jones the kid from the Cam Newton ad? Just loosening up my arm. Wasn't that Mac Jones? Yeah, when he gets the league, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have it that way. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith with Mike Harmon. Seriously, a lot of it is I want to show you I don't need a quarterback to win. I don't need Brady to win games like this. It's your business, and you need to see every single hire, but you really don't want to go through every single resume. You need Indeed, the all-in-one hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in one place. With smart tools like Instant Match, you instantly get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description the minute you sponsor a job. Spend less time sifting through resumes and more time saying you're hired. Visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Well, coming up next, more of the controversy following the Bills' loss to the Patriots on Monday Night Football. Keep it right here. Jason and Mike, this is Fox. The football 3 times and win the game. I want to win the game without Tom Brady. I want Mac Jones to sit on the ball. I want the winds to blow and snow, and I can say I'm a genius. I want to.
Here's why Brady's the greatest of all time.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon,
hey.
Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And look, we want to bring you a little bit more of this controversy that developed following the Patriots' win over the Bills tonight, in which the Patriots threw the ball three times. After the game, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, two defensive backs on the Bills, both very good, didn't like a line of questioning that they were asked about the run game, because when a team throws the football three times in a game, you know the team is going to run the football on every play, and you still couldn't stop them. It's embarrassing. It's the Bills' own version of Spygate, except instead of dominating teams like the Patriots did, they wound up losing. You knew the Patriots were going to run the football every single play, right? They threw the ball three bleeping times in the entire night. Every other play was a run. Yes, the Patriots did some things. They brought an extra offensive lineman. They did that. But they threw the ball three times. They ran it 46 times. And the Patriots were able to hold on to time of possession, were able to get enough points to win the game. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing as all hell for the Bills to lose a game like this. I get you're mad. And they were mad after the game. First, I want you to hear something. I want you to hear, here's Poyer and Micah Hyde asked after the game. So, Tyshirt, we're going to roll with the first one from tonight. When they were asked about the Bills' run defense and were they embarrassed about the effort tonight? Because, look, it was embarrassing, this kind of game. And right away, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde get really pissed off at that questioning.
I mean, what kind of
question? What are we doing, bro?
What kind of question is that?
I think we gave up
7 points.
Yeah,
14 to 10.
Is that the final score?
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs. They kept coming back, took a couple runs. I mean, I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
That's funny. Well, we'll remember that. I'll remember that.
All right, so they're mad, right? Jordan Poyer is mad. Oh, I'll remember that question. First of all, that was not a bad line of questioning. Nothing was asked outside the realm of the game. It was, dude, you guys got embarrassed, man. You knew they were going to run the football every play, and you still lost the game, and you gave up 226 yards on the ground. Never mind for a second that the Bills are that they're basically saying it's the offense's fault. How can you blame us? What did we get up? 7-14 points they got? Look, they made a couple. We made stops. We did it. Oh, so it's not your fault. It's the offense. Yes, the offense had a bad night, but you know what? Everybody on the Bills had a bad night. You guys had a bad night too, because you were part of that defense that gave up all those yards and lost a game when you knew they were running the football on every play. You got to own this loss. And no, they were mad about it. And now here's Micah Hyde walking off, because the Bills DBs got a little upset, didn't want to answer any more questions. Here's Hyde walking off, talking to the reporter.
This goes in disrespect. It's all about respect. I come here every single week and I answer your questions truthfully, honestly. I appreciate you guys. Don't do that. Don't do that.
In my day.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. What did they ask, man? Dude, you're such a sore loser. You're such a sore loser. Be a pro. Be a pro and answer the questions. Okay? Be a pro. This is what everybody gets. Nobody likes to talk after they lose a game. You lost a game. I get it's embarrassing, but you know what? Be a pro. And the reason I talk about this, and this is not just, hey, these guys were sore losers. Let me now take you back to when things were great for the Bills, right? Middle of November, hey, things are good. Everybody's talking about us. We're a Super Bowl team. Things are awesome. We just played the Jets. Mike White threw 4 interceptions. And after the game, oh, the Bills DBs, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, had no problem making fun of Mike White as they were asked about, hey, did you know, Jordan Poyer, you were the only guy without a turnover in this Bills secondary in this game against the Jets? And here's how they talked about it.
Jordan, when you had the interception, did you realize that all 5 of you
had
then forced some sort of
Yeah, that boy knew.
Yeah. I knew I was the only one that didn't have one yet, so I had to figure out a way to go get one. Thank you, Mike White, for giving us 5.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, thanks, Mike White. Yeah, yeah, because we won. We won this game going away. So here, we're laughing. I'm talking smack, and I'm making fun of you. Okay. If you want to talk like that, great. I mean, that's awesome, right? You want to talk like that, that's great. But it goes both ways. And if you're going to talk like that when you win and you want to embarrass a guy, then you sit in front of the media and you talk about when you get embarrassed. I'm not saying what you have to say, you don't have to say, but you got to be professionals, right? Because it goes both ways there. You want to laugh, Mike White. Thanks, Mike White. Yeah. Because we're great. Oh, but now we lost. This is unfair to us. And you're asking us questions about losing a game. Oh, be fair. Oh, my. It's so embarrassing. Because when I hear that from the Bills DBs, you know what I think of their team overall? Where's their leadership? Where is anything? Where the Bills are a team that is just floundering right now. They can't run the football. They can't figure things out. Sean McDermott had rings coached around him tonight by Bill Belichick and the rest of the Patriots. They weren't ready for anything that was going on in this game. They weren't ready for the weather. They weren't ready for the Patriots, and they couldn't adjust. Okay, this is a big deal, and I wonder where's that Bills leadership from? Because clearly you're not getting it from your DBs. Guys have been around the league a while. When I see that, I go, boy, this is a microcosm of how fragile things are in Buffalo right now. You lost a game, you got embarrassed, and now I'm going to be mad at the reporters for having the audacity to ask me a question about the game. What are they going to say? Hey, boy, you guys played great tonight, man. Boy, you limited them to 19 yards through the air. How did you do that? I mean, what do you expect them to say? Right? And then they want to turn it around like it's their fault. If you're going to yap when you make plays, oh, thank you, Mike White. If you're going to do that, then you got to talk here. And now all they did was show we're sore losers and we're not professionals. We're going to get mad at the media for what's going on. This is the Buffalo Bills. This is what happened tonight.
Yeah, as we've been watching this unfold, I'm embarrassed for Twitter because we usually climb on things and make something trend. And the word embarrassed should be trending. Because I don't know that I've ever seen a word used unanimously to describe the effort of a defense or offense or a coaching effort. Well, maybe Matt Nagy a little bit, maybe Robert Saleh on occasion. This was all in all, from ex-football players to a bunch of current players to folks in the media, just going, they're just being embarrassed and pushed around all night long. And the setup with the question was, you know, it's been over 40 years. And it was kind of muffled, so you didn't hear it there. But it ended. It's been 40 years, you know, the two completions. And isn't that embarrassing, basically, how he threw it up and just lobbed it for them to take it in whatever direction they wanted. And they get upset about it. And look, they're frustrated. I like the laugh tracker. Oh, no, those were media members in the other one, right? No, because those were all media members, right? So yucking it up with them to where it sounded like a 70s sitcom. Wait, did we hit our mark right? No. Did you not see the laugh button got pressed and it was blinking, which means you're supposed to really give us your best belly laugh on this. For the Bills, what's interesting, you go back to they started the season right. Yeah, the loss to Pittsburgh. They win four straight. That fourth win in that streak was against Kansas City. And then they've gone win-loss, win-loss, win-loss all the way through to this point. So in theory, they should win on the road at Tampa, shouldn't they? Yeah, that's in theory.
Because
now the rubber hits the road. But to your point, leadership, like by all accounts, these guys are normally really good guys with the media. And why this really struck a nerve, I mean, you want to talk about why not give some credit to the defensive backs of the Patriots who batted down some balls that were pretty good throws. I mean, as Belichick said in the clip that we heard earlier about Josh Allen, he threw some balls on the money. Either got a hand in or you had a drop, right? Dawson Knox, couple of balls that maybe he can fight through a little more. Now you start to question effort, which is a dangerous thing to do at all. But, you know, all the reporter really needed to do was just say 217, 5.7 yards per carry. How does that happen?
Well, here's the other part of it. No, because look, I get that, you know, that's a trigger word, right? Embarrassing.
Sure.
I understand that. Is this the first press conference Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer ever had? Is this the first time
they probably the first that they'd ever been asked if they were embarrassed by their
right? But you've been around the media. You've sure. gotten questions for a long time. You can easily find a way to blow this off, right? You can easily find a way to say, you know what, I'm not embarrassed. We lost. Give them credit. Jordan Poyer is 30 years old. He's been in the league for a long time, right? Hyde the same way. They've been in the league a long time. They know they don't have to take the bait if they don't want to.
No, but that's the thing is that they answer the question, I think, the right way. And again, this is me saying right or wrong, but it's like they answer with that, right? This is what we gave up. And then they get mad about it. It's like, I don't know what more we can do. We held the team to 14 points. Those are winnable games in the NFL. That's it. And unfortunately, that then becomes lobbing the grenade
so now it's
over
the offense's
offense.
Fault. Right now, it's the offense's fault. Look, it was a bad game by the Bills all around. You got dominated in the game in which the other team threw the football three times. I mean, there's a reason why it's a big deal, because we go back to the last time this happened was 1974. Okay, yeah. 1974.
And Joe Namath was in the game. And O.J. Simpson.
You gave up 220 on the ground. It was enough to lose. Did the offense play well? No, they did not. But this is not, hey, we were great and the offense wasn't. If this is a game where the Patriots won 14-10 and Mac Jones threw for 150 yards and the Patriots ran for 110 or 120, whatever, then I understand, hey, okay, look, we did our job, right? We kept them to 14 points and Mac Jones threw for 150 and they ran for 120. They didn't really do a lot. You know? But this is a game where you knew the plays that were coming. Okay, that's the whole thing. You knew they were going to run the football. You knew every play was going to be a run. You knew every play they were going to run the football. And you know what the Patriots did? They held the football for 5 minutes longer than you did. You couldn't get the football back enough, even though you knew every play was a run. How many teams in the NFL are saying right now, man, if I knew if every play was a run, I don't care what kind of formation they put out there, we're going to find a way to stop them. And they couldn't stop them. They couldn't. They got completely outcoached, and Sean McDermott got completely outcoached. I didn't think anybody could get outcoached worse than Robert Saleh and the Jets yesterday when they admitted after the game, we didn't plan for Gardner Minshew. What do you mean you didn't plan for Gardner Minshew? Nick Sirianni said on Monday Jalen Hurts may not play.
Was a long shot, yes.
You prepare for both guys. No. We did. How do you not do? I mean, this is what I mean when I say Robert Saleh, I don't know if he can make it as an NFL head coach. I really don't. We didn't prepare for Gardner. And then to say something like when he said, hey, they run the same kind of offense anyway. Oh, my God, really? Anybody who's watched the NFL for 5 minutes knows Jalen Hurts runs the football way more than he throws it. Come on, man. Seriously? I think throwing the football, Jalen Hurts has been worth minus fantasy points in the last 5 weeks, but incredibly high number for running it. You really tell me Gardner was the same way? This is what I mean when I say, boy, I don't know about Robert Saleh. I don't know that he can make it. I don't know that he's up to it. But tonight, this is even better than that. I mean, you saw Sean McDermott and the Bills have no answer. And after the game, McDermott talking about the weather like it was just a minor annoyance, like it was a gnat flying around. Ah, you know, this weather thing. Yeah, kind of. No, this was the game. This is Bill Belichick game planning for you and the weather, knowing when the wind is going to be swirling like this. This is what we're going to do. And the Bills trying to resolve it with, well, let's try to do what we do anyway, despite the fact it's windy. And this is the result. There's a reason why Belichick's the best head coach in the NFL. I get that. But boy, to be outcoached on that level when you have this much talent and you're at home and you still don't realize we have to adjust to try to win this game and we can't just do what we normally do and try to just do a little bit more than the other team. I mean, really, Robert Saleh yesterday, that was embarrassing. This is just as embarrassing. And the fact they wouldn't even admit it after the game, boy, they really took it to us. I mean, I got to think in private, they're saying that to themselves, hey,
sure,
boy, we really got out, coach, man. This is real. But to sit here and downplay it, this is what I mean when I say the Bills, I don't know about them, man. I don't know that they have that leadership. When things go well for them, the Bills are great, right? Look, this whole thing with Poirier and Micah Hyde's a great example of that. When the Bills win games, when they get out big and they score points and they win, when they're front runners, they're great, man. They win games 35-0 and 43-21 and 40-0 and 38-20. But when you have to play games and it's 34-31 and it's 9-6, and when you get punched in the mouth like you did against the Colts, and it's a game like tonight, but the Bills just have nowhere to go. They have nowhere to go. They are the definition of a front-running team. That when things are going well, the Bills are great. But the minute they hit a little bit of adversity, look what happens. I mean, I'm giving you the final scores of their games right there. Every game they've won, they've blown teams out, right? And when everything is working well for us, we're not falling behind in the game. But the games that are close and the games that are against good teams, they wind up losing. And that's about leadership and not finding a way to grind out a game or finding a way to adjust. The Bills are the biggest front runners in the NFL.
Yeah, I think it just comes back to behind closed doors, you're going to rue that you got run over. It's what we've been talking about with the Rams leading up to this Jaguars game, right? Three straight games where they just got punched in the mouth repeatedly and looked soft. Right, even on that defensive front, the highly touted, you know, defensive player of the year, Aaron Donald. I mean, you got to evaluate as going. He's been invisible for weeks, And obviously we saw the pick sixes and everything that rolled up, and Kelly Stafford getting mad at Fred Rogan and Petros Papadakis here locally for a show they do, and making fun of them and trying to fight back, you know, after throwing a pretzel at somebody. But the fact is that you got beat up, and you just have to own it. Right, this was a game you were still in, because I think that's where the genesis of the "Are you embarrassed?" Like, we lost 14-10, so I understand the incredulity of it all. But then you still have to pause and just say, you know what, we couldn't get off the field, we couldn't get a stop, and it was a winnable game. For McDermott talking about the weather, it's like, yeah, you're not going to make the weather an excuse. Hell, you actually got gifted 3 points when they called that phantom, you know, unnecessary roughness penalty along the sideline. So, and then Bass misses what is a chip shot field goal to start the fourth quarter. Could have changed the complexion of things. Instead, here we have it. Bill Belichick, super genius and living in your head.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo! Oh.
Every time I hear this, I always think of the first opening scene of Lethal Weapon, right? Hear that going along. She goes, the girl jumps off the building. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. And look, we'll get back to the Monday night game in a second. But some big stories out of college football tonight. First, we find out that the Heisman Trophy finalists have been named. Look, Bryce Young's going to win. Right, I mean, look, it's great that Aiden Hutchinson got named. It's great C.J. Stroud is there, too. Bryce Young's going to win, all right, especially coming off of what he did last week. And, you know, you hear the promo that Doug Gottlieb has running about how the Heisman Trophy, nobody cares about it like we cared about it when we were little. And I understand about that to a point, but I think it's a little bit more – it's a little bit more of a latter year phenomenon about the Heisman Trophy not being as big a deal. Because clearly it's not as big a deal to the fans as it was. You're still seeing great players win that are going on to the NFL with great, you know, Kyler Murray is still winning the Heisman Trophy. But what we like is when something is kind of up for debate and suddenly Aiden Hutchinson is named a finalist, future Jet Aiden Hutchinson, is named a finalist. He's had some great games the last couple weeks. People got a chance to see him. He has no chance to win. And that's the real issue, is that the reason the Heisman Trophy has become something that is just kind of out there is because the last time somebody won with less than 60% of the vote was Mark Ingram in 2009. Every year, it's a runaway. We know who's going to win. So is it really that big a deal? If you're talking about coming down to the end and we don't know, and it's a couple of guys, it could be anybody. But okay, great. But the last decade plus, we kind of know who's going to win. So when you know who's going to win, why is there that much interest? Like, I know Bryce Young is going to win. Nobody else is going to win the Heisman Trophy. He's going to do it. So is it a big deal when it's announced Saturday? Will I watch it? I don't know. Maybe I'll catch it. Maybe I'll watch it on my phone. Maybe I'll catch it after it on my phone. But, I mean, when you know how something's going to end, the inherent interest in it is not that great. So, I mean, yeah, I kind of get that's why. If you had big down to the wire, is it this guy? Is it this guy? Look at this performance. Yeah, I get it. But when the votes aren't even close and we know it's not close, yeah, it's hard to drum up a lot of interest in it.
Yeah, we need debates. We need arguments. And, you know, those big spotlight performances. Kenny Pickett, you know what his big spotlight is? The fake slide. And how that needs to be outlawed and the problematic nature thereof. Because, I mean, that's either a unsportsmanlike conduct, or at least the ball's got to be dead when those two defenders, you know, are so kind and pull up and don't blow him up. But to put it in perspective, FoxSports.com, the betting odds are up there, right? Bryce Young is minus 5,000, which means if you bet $10, you win 20 cents.
Well, I mean, that's 20 more cents than I had yesterday.
Hey, no, but I mean, that's the bottom line, though, right? So, I mean, that would give you an extra 20 cents. So take the win and move forward, and then you try to figure out how to parlay that. Hutchinson is at plus 2,000. So, you know, bet $10, win $210. CJ Stroud at plus $3,000, Pickett at plus $3,000. So, you know, your $10 gets you $310 back. So you want to go long shot, that's fine. But, you know, this is the kind of thing where there's enough polling, there's enough understanding of how the votes are flowing. This is, while not perfect information, about as close as you're going to get. So now it's just a question of, do you get back into, 65%? Is it higher than that? You know, where does Hutchinson rank? Does he get a lot of, you know, fourth place votes in this process? I know our guy Steve Hartman, who has his vote, and it's the most important thing in his world. He was trying to get my input on it and as to how to finish his top five. So curious to talk about that with him this next week. But yeah, it's when it's obvious, it's like, all right, shrug, move on. Who's drafting him? Right, that's the bigger issue related to the end of the college season. Where are guys going to get drafted rather than who's winning any awards?
Yeah, and look, and if you had something that developed over the course of a season, if you had a back and forth, but we're also immune to the big numbers that go up now. Guys throw for five or six touchdowns every week now. So you need that, hey, that close race here that has national implications. You just need a little bit more than just here's the best players. I mean, that's an easy one. You got to have a close vote. Have a close vote. We're back in business. When you don't,
there you go. The fix is in.
Twitter at @AbadaFresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, why Brady versus Belichick is playing out just like Shaq versus Kobe. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my six decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.